you, Jen and Erica. Welcome to Word of Grace and Celebrate Recovery. My name is Pastor Mike, believer in Christ who has struggled with some anger issues, with some gambling issues, some depression, a number of items throughout time. And last week, as they're passing the little handout sheets out,
these two.
Last week, I'll just give you, if you weren't here last week, I only have one left, and so I told you last week I was going to give you another sheet. There will be four items that, if you be writing these things down to be praying for, and all together we will be praying for God to bring some change in our lives as we reach, as we go into this Easter week, and that there's some breakthrough coming. The other two ones were for health and finances. And so the one that's coming out this week is relationships and life's choices. So just some key kind of areas sometimes where we struggle with in life. And so if you just want to write those items down, as you're not only praying for yours, just say, Lord, I don't know what other men or other women, what other areas of life that they have some needs for. I'm bringing them before you. You know that woman, you know that man that needs a breakthrough in health, or finances, or relationships. And so just not only pray about yourself, but there's power in praying for others. And so that was just something that I just wanted to, sometimes I do a few things differently, but it's easier to do when we are doing it together. So I just challenge you, not only write it down for yourself, but as you pray, pray for others, because that's where blessing comes. Last week we started again with lesson one, in denial, and we'll do a very small review, and then we'll be moving on into the second part of principle one. But if you guys could bring up the serenity prayer, say that with me, repeat it with me. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Just a couple other things. Inside your outline, you'll see there will be part of the first part of the teaching will be on the back side of your outline, not under the powerless acrostic. We'll end with the powerless. But there's also a prayer card for anything that's going on right now. Fill it out, drop it in that bucket. If you have any offering, you're free to drop it in that bucket as well. I'm just thankful that the basic needs continue to be met of what we need to do for Celebrate Recovery. But
no,
I'm going to share one other thing that's coming up in April. April 19th, all across this country, and Celebrate Recovery, wherever they're located in this nation, is going to be promoting a movie that will be in our Marcus Theaters. And you'll be hearing, for those of you that attend Sundays here, you'll be hearing a little bit about that. There's a movie called The Home Run. It's baseball season starts, and Home Run, it's about a true story from a Major League Baseball player who's still playing this year. If I give you some clues, if some of you may figure it out, he was well into the playoffs last year, and he left to that team to go to a West Coast team. But a few years back, when he was first coming into the league, he was banned for over half the season because of drug and alcohol. He was sent to go back. His agent took him on a plane, flew him back to his hometown, and he was told that he had to coach a little league team that summer, as well as he had to find a 12-step program and get his act together, or, I mean, the guy was making millions, or his money was going to stop. He thought that was all a bunch of hogwash. He didn't need any help, you know, just because, or whatever. As it ended up, he couldn't find, you know, he had problems with coaching the Little League thing, and he still continued to drink in his hotel room. And he was able to, you know, put the pills in to fake his urine test. Continued to, you know, fake it so he could make it, so the big money could continue to happen. And eventually, you know, it was time to get real. Finally, they took him to a little church in was some the town he was in was somewhere in Oklahoma, you know, kind of like Bible Belt USA, and the beginning of it anyhow. And he ended up at a little Methodist church that had a celebrate recovery. And he ends up, you know, they end up talking, and some of the people are standing up, or when they get to, "Hi, my name is Mike, I'm a believer in Christ, and I struggle with this." And you can just see him, just his attitude, just kind of, "You old man." You know, that's the body image that I just could kind of portray of what he was thinking or saying. "You don't know who I am, I'm a stud athlete. I make millions. I hit home runs. I win championships. I drive Corvettes. You know, my pee is more expensive than what you make in your wallet." That's the kind of attitude that you could see he portrayed. Until he met Christ and began to really work the program and get cleaned up. Good movie. As you know, I came from a baseball career too, so I get a little emotional between recovery and baseball. And so that's all right. But I will be promoting it. We'll try and take a number of us. And then there's another thing, a Friday night coming up. I think do you know it's about the 11th, Maureen? I think the second Thursday, sorry, since you're here, you get to be unofficially used. There's Joyce Meyer in Milwaukee. I think it's the second Friday in April. And if a bunch of us want to carpool down, we're going to go. And if we can even meet here in the parking lot. Thursday night, she starts in Milwaukee Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Well, I can't make Thursday and I can't make Saturday, so I'm going Friday. And if anybody wants to meet here, we'll either get some cars and carpool down. I'm just letting you know. It's somewhere around the 10th or 11th. I don't know. I'll have to look at a calendar. I'll be able to give it to you next week for sure. We'll have a sign-up sheet. And you go meet, Maureen and I have taken time to go see her a number of times, and when you realize you've got some problems, you know what she's going to tell you to do with those problems? There's no way you're going around that mountain holding on to those problems again. It's time to let them go, get rid of them. And so that's partly why these little prayer requests, it's time to deal with some of our issues. And last week we were talking about denial. This week we're going to go into the second half of the first step, and if you you obviously can go back to our church website and look under the media and listen to last week's denial. And we even did a spotlight teaching. Periodically, I'm going to do a spotlight teaching on different issues. And this was not all about drugs or alcohol. It's a lot about behaviors. It's a lot about habits. And last week, we did a segment, a spotlight on borderline personality disorder, mental health. These are some things that are very important. And if you know of anybody that struggled with that, simply have them get back and listen to last week's denial message. And tonight I'm really not going to do a spotlight on something, but I'm going to focus on some areas in our life that where we're going to feel powerless. Anyhow, the first principle one, realize I'm not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the things in my life that my life is unmanageable. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor, Matthew 5:3. Step one, we admitted we are powerless in our addictions and compulsive behaviors that our lives have become unmanageable. I know nothing good lives in me, that is my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Romans 7:18. You know how many times is that? Sometimes we want to do things right, and then we get frustrated, we get depressed, we get angry. Why did I do this? Huh? How come I keep doing what I don't want to do? What is wrong with me? I guess I'm just a loser. You know, my old man told me I was going to be a loser. I guess I am. And sometimes because we get disgusted with ourselves, we begin to believe what other people have told us. And guess what that does? It leads us right down into another funk, and we begin to feel powerless. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight, powerless. Let me give you an example. How do you feel if you've ever heard this? You're fired. What? You mean I didn't get to? I wanted to tell you to take this job and, you know, and the country song, if you guys don't know it, is "Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more." Instead, that you didn't get that option. They told you you're fired. Now you're powerless. The bills are going to be coming due and the check is going to stop. Now what do we do? How about this when you hear this? "Guys or girls, I don't love you anymore." How does that make you feel? Powerless. Out of, you know, things are just, it's just hurting. How about this? This is a difficult one, but it happens in every home. No exceptions. I'm sorry, they passed away. Powerless. You cannot go back and control those events. Now let's take it, or how about you're driving your car? Red lights come up behind you. Powerless. The control that was, that you had in the car before, is now being taken from you. Let's take it personal. How about depression? When you're living or operating life in a fog, we're powerless to perhaps sometimes even begin to help ourselves. It's like, what is going on? How about this further? Anger. You see, for me, after depression, it led to anger. Because I was so frustrated with who I was. I was getting angry. I was getting upset. I couldn't stand Mike. And guess what? 5 years before that, Mike had been a pastor at a different church. You know, sometimes it's not who we are. It's who we're becoming. You see, understand that God is not interested in what you've been or what things you've done wrong. He's interested in who you're becoming. And you see, I was regressing in life at that point because of my illness and because of some other issues that were going on. I sat there and cried, woe is me, pity is me. And depression led me to anger. How about this? How about fear? Have we ever struggled with fear? Fear makes you powerless. You just don't know what you're going to do. Fear is something that's, again, it's simply an emotion. Anger is an emotion or a behavior. And these things, when we let them control us, cause us to be powerless. And then we do things that we don't want to do because we let those things so much influence. A simple thing like fear or anger, it causes us to do something that we did not want to do. And then sometimes when we struggle with depression, we'll turn to alcohol or we'll abuse prescriptions. Sometimes food. Sometimes it just caught us. We don't abuse those things, but we stay caught in that fog. We stay powerless. And God has given each one of you some very special gifts and talents. But it's up to you to use them. He's not going to bang you over the hammer each morning or throw a bucket of water in your face and say, get out of bed, get up and do something. He's going to say, your time is yours. You get to make those decisions. The other decision that's remaining for me is how you're living life is how I get to bless you. You see, many of us get so depressed, we think, what is God doing to me? Why did he allow this to happen to me? You understand this. God does not allow anything to happen to you more than you are able to handle. That's what his word says. Sometimes the things that happen to you that you don't like, you know what they're for? They're for the refining of your faith. They're helping to help you grow up. It's to help you mature in your faith. It's to help you overcome some of your other obstacles. It's like giving you a university, a theological course in order to move forward in life. And it's not just for you selfishly, it's so how you can help somebody else. Once you learn your lesson, now it's called give it back and help somebody else grow in their faith or change in their circumstances or pray for them or do something for them and bless them. A few more personal things. Pain. Whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's financial, whether it's spiritual. How many of us like pain? We don't. It immobilizes us. It makes us powerless. Here's a big one. Abuse. Whether we've been abused as children, whether it's verbally, physically, sexually. Abuse. You're powerless. You're a child. That's mom. That's dad. That's grandpa. They must know what they're doing. We're powerless in that situation. You know, Celebrate Recovery has rewritten that entire step, and they say you have absolutely no fault in that. That's simply the other individuals, the other family members' pain or problems. Again, I don't want to make excuses for them, but hurting people hurt people. And that's just how it goes. Again, this is getting a little personal, but it's the way it needs to be. How about addicted? How did we end up with drugs, alcohol, or different addictions in our life? It comes from choices. How we dealt with maybe a pain, how we dealt with a relationship. Oh, some of us may say, yeah, We need to be high because sex is better. Huh? I hear people say that all the time. I'm not going to talk to you like this is real life stuff. Or, I need to get drunk. I deserve to be wasted this weekend. Because I worked hard. I earned it. And pretty soon it becomes a habit. It becomes a situation. Or, we simply hung out with the wrong crowd, or we were in the wrong place. And then we went back because it was fun. Recreational, we didn't mean to get sucked in, and now all of a sudden we get sucked in. You know, do you think I went to the casino to get sucked into gambling? No, you went, and it was fun. And unfortunately, we won a lot of money the first time we were there. And so you get sucked in, and you go back again. That's how it is with any addiction. You get sucked right in. And now you've got some more problems. You're powerless. Until you get to the point of no longer denying that I can stop or I can control this or I can only occasionally use, I can use it and nobody's going to find out and I'll be okay. Until you get to the point of saying that I am powerless, that I am no, my life is out of control, it's unmanageable, and I no longer can just be a recreational drinker or user. You see, once you're addicted to alcohol, once you're addicted to drugs, once you're addicted to nicotine or any chemical thing, you cannot go back and just recreationally use it. You can't, if you quit smoking, you can't go to a wedding and smoke a cigar. It perhaps will cause a problem for you. Not everybody is the same. But chemical addictions oftentimes means you better not even pick the beer up just once at a wedding if you had trouble with alcohol. You need to learn how to make good choices and say no and grow some spiritual backbone, grow some identity of who you are in Christ and move forward. How about spiritually lost? You see, sometimes the stuff that I teach you here on Thursdays doesn't even begin to make sense. You feel powerless over the fact that, what is he even saying about having a relationship with Christ? About Allah casting, giving him my problems, talking to him on, and letting him know how I hurt or where I hurt. If you're spiritually lost, then that means if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're powerless to be able to stop or to control your own situations. You may always think I'm in control. I can recreationally use. I can stop drinking or stop smoking or get my sex life or my finances or my relationship in control when and whenever I want. But guess what? You're absolutely wrong. Because God created you. He created this earth. He created heaven. And he did give you the ability to overcome, but it's only through having a relationship with his son. And until you come to that point of saying, I surrender, I give up, I change, I want your help, God, I want to go your way, I want to do it with you, then and only then will you begin to be empowered to be able to be set free from issues or struggles or pain or hurt or fear or abandonment, abuse, or all of this other mess that I've been talking about. That freedom is available to you. I'll talk to you a little bit more about that as we move forward. One last thing that many of us struggle with. Where was I born? I was born into the wrong family. I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. Yeah, I struggled with that one. You know, I loved my parents, but I just didn't. Why did I have to be born so dirt poor that I had to work for everything? I always had to go help milk cows, shovel crap, feed animals before I could go to school, try and get cleaned up so I didn't stink. And then get home from school and have to do the same mess again. Or if I needed a few dollars, I had to go down the street on my bike and try and cut somebody's grass after I worked like a pig in the barn with the pigs or whatever. You know, sometimes you wonder, why did I have to be born on that side of the tracks? And yet, you know, as I got older in life, and I began to realize the things that I was taught and the way I was raised, regardless of how I didn't like it as a young man. I thank God for who the parents were that I had. Because do you know how I would have turned out had I had everything handed on a platter for me? I don't even know if I'd have walked in the door yet here to sit in the back row. Because life would have been too easy. Mike would have partied it. Mike would have used the cars, abused women, abused himself, and been a loser. And I always thought those guys that had everything were the winners. They, and as I, the guys, a lot of the guys that I went to school with, they've ended up being some of the biggest losers. And some of us have been told we're losers, and I'm telling you, it's just the opposite. Understand, get your spiritual eyes open. Take control, take power over the situation. Satan has rendered that power against you. Only God can give you the power back to recapture those years, recapture those wasted moments, and begin to turn life from pain and suffering and fear and abandonment and abuse and addictions into something beautiful. He wants you to be so much more than what you've ever been. So, I could keep going there, but we have a different message to teach, and that's powerless. So powerless is where we're finishing kind of principle one as we started before. Realize we're not God. We admit we are powerless to control the tendency to do the wrong thing, and our lives have become unmanageable. You know, sometimes control is an issue. Pain is an issue. And that is the first thing. There's four action steps that we need to take. We need to take these four action steps to complete principle one. Two that we need to stop doing and two that we need to start doing. The first one that we need to stop doing is denying the pain. We talked about some of those situations. You know, if we're struggling with addictions, if we're struggling with depression, if we're struggling with finances, we have to need to stop denying that I don't have an issue, that there is a real problem, and recognize it and say, I realize I've got a problem, God, can you help me out? I'm surrendering my pain of the past. I'm surrendering my pain of the moment. I'm surrendering who I am today, and I want help. I want to change. I want to be set free. I want to be healed. I no longer want to struggle. You see, it's so much as a process. You know, you need to be able to get ready to accept principle one when your pain is greater than your fear. When your pain is greater than the fear of, say, I can accept Christ. I'm no longer going to feel like I'm embarrassed. Or when my pain is good enough, great enough, when I'm not afraid to say who I am. That I'm depressed, that I'm angry, that I'm addicted. Until you can get that to that point of being able to verbalize some of these things, healing is not going to happen. And you're going to continue to struggle. You're going to continue to hold on to your issues. Some of you can have a breakthrough moment tonight as you either write some of those prayer requests down or as you just take some of this aside and begin to apply it. You know, in Psalms chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, David talks about a time when he came to the end of his emotional rope. And here's what it says. He says, "Pity me, O Lord, for I am weak. Heal my body, for it is sick. And I am upset and I'm disturbed. My mind is filled with apprehension and with gloom." You know, that sounds to me like somebody that's not only physically sick, but is emotionally struggling, in a little bit of a depression, a little bit of a funk. And if you go study the Bible, not only did he have struggle with depression, he also struggled with adultery, he also struggled with murder. And yet, as you find out how his life goes along, God says he became a man after my own heart. And so there is nothing that you or I have done so wrong that God is not going to open your eyes or heal that heart or bring your brokenness into focus, whether it's depression, whether it's anger, whether it's drugs, whatever the deal is. God says, I am here to set the captives free. And David said, listen to my words. I've been there too. You're not the first man. You're not the first woman that's walked down the wrong path. This isn't new. Understand, they got drunk in the Bible. Understand, they had committed adultery, they committed murder. I haven't read anything there about drugs. But all this, I don't doubt that they just didn't have the technology we had. But all of the other stuff is every bit a part of what was going on here. From depression and anger and sex and drunkenness and violence and murder and hate and anger and pain and fear and powerlessness. This is nothing new that is going on. Okay, remember as I talked a little bit about last week in denial, whatever your issue is, if you're struggling with anger, what causes you to get angry? That's the part that you need to deal with. How many times Mike tried to deal with his anger? Because he didn't like who he was if he said something wrong to Maureen, or if he snapped at his kids, or if he... You know, somebody cut him off in the grocery, what got his cart in front of them. You know, what's wrong with you? You saw I was going into that line. You know, that's how Mike would have been when anger was ruling his life. Hey, buddy, you do that again, and I'll take this cart and jam it sideways down your mouth. You can have a good day trying to crap on Tuesday. And that's how Mike would have been, a real piece of work. And I had been a pastor 5 years before that. You see, being a pastor, being in the church does not make any of us perfect. Only God makes us perfect. Only God begins to cleanse us. And that becomes a heart choice of yours or a heart choice of mine, to begin to let him be Lord of every area of our life, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. Being able to be open and honest and say, hey, I'm a sinner like anyone else. I've struggled with this. God, take it from me. I'm sick of who I am, who I've been, who I've become because of... And you know what? I didn't go from a really good pastor to an idiot overnight. Again, it was one little wrong choice, one little compromise, one little this, one little that. Pretty soon, depression set in. Pretty soon, anger set in. Pretty soon, gambling came. One little wrong choice after another sucks you in. Intentionally, do you go purpose to be bad? No. But it's one little thing at a time, one little thing at a time, and click. All of a sudden, now you're struck. Now you're frustrated. Now you're upset with yourself even more. And you're ashamed. Until you can get to the point, though, where you can be no longer ashamed because you're set free in Christ. The scripture doesn't say, God looks down at you and I'm ashamed of you, Mike. You are just, what you did back in those years, man, I don't know. You better work hard because otherwise I'm not going to let you into heaven. God does not say that. God says, regardless of what you've done, the moment that you confess these sins, I am just and I am able to forgive them. And as far as the east is from the west, he remembers them no more. Unfortunately, the good thing is my wife does. She remembers the good, the bad, and the ugly, and she likes the better, a whole lot better. And today, after, you know, today we're privileged to do a lot of relationship and marriage counseling. And I'm thankful for that. Because out of something that was painful and broken, something beautiful has happened. But it starts the moment that you commit to say, I want that help. I want that change. I'm looking for it worse than what I've ever done before. That's when things start to move forward for you. Stop playing God is the second thing you need to stop. And what do I mean by playing God? How many of you played cops and robbers when you were a kid? I did. Or cowboys and Indians. All those little cap guns. I like to pop those things. And then I played with the Red Ryder BB gun. And I just about shot a kid's eye out and stopped playing. Time to stop playing with those things. But, you know, how many of us play games? And here's the deal where you stop playing God, meaning that you hold him at arm's length. God, I'm coming to church today. I want to celebrate recovery tonight. Can you bless me? But I want what I want, and tomorrow's Friday. Yeah, Jimmy's having a really hot party. Oh, boy, those girls are going to be... I know who's going to be there. And you go there, and you get done, and you waste yourself, and you use something, and you get back. I got to go to church tomorrow because, God, I messed up yesterday. When are you going to try and manipulate God? Let's quit, stop playing God. Saying that I can use him today because I messed up yesterday. That's called grace. And do you know there is a scripture in the Bible that says don't continue to take advantage of grace. That means grow up. Quit just drinking on milk and learn how to eat some meat. And develop a little spiritual toughness where you learn to say no to temptation. And stand on your own 2 feet and walk in a straight manner rather than just going with the wind. Okay, that was the two things you need to stop doing. Here's the two things you need to start doing. Start admitting our powerlessness. You see, the lust of power is rooted in our strengths. It's not rooted in our strengths, but in our weaknesses. You see, when somebody tries to control you, it's not because they're stronger than you. Yep, I'm running out of time here because 10 minutes left and a whole acrostics to go. Forgive me. Too much time in between. All right, so start admitting your powerlessness. Four, the other thing you need to start doing is start admitting that our lives have become unmanageable. In other words, if it's out of control, admit it. Don't. A fire needs to be fed. Wood burns rather quickly, and you need to keep adding to it. It keeps it burning bright. The more you add to it, the bigger and brighter it gets. If you've got addictions, if you've got problems, the more you keep adding to it, the harder and harder and faster and brighter it burns in your life. It's just the way it is. Let me go through the acrostics real quick. P, pride. Do you realize pride is the root of all sin? It was what caused Satan, who was born Lucifer. Satan was created by God with all the other angels. In heaven, his name was Lucifer, which meant morning star. He was created as an archangel. He was number two in heaven. Until he said, you can go read it in Isaiah, he said, I will be like God the Most High. I will sit on the throne of God. I will be like God. I will be God. And there was war and revolution in heaven, and Satan got kicked out of heaven. And a third, if you go and read Revelation, it says a third of the angels followed Satan. And they were kicked out of heaven. And what they have become is they are the tormentors of this world. They're the evil spirits that walk on this. You don't see spirits. You can't see an angel. I guess there are some people that now and then do see a ghost. If you don't believe in those things, every bit of those things is real. The spiritual side is real. There's angels, there's ghosts, there's demons, there's God. If you believe in God, he trumps every one of those other things. One of these days I'll do a whole lesson on angels and spirit beings because I can't give you a solid information on it right now. I'll let you know when I will because I've studied enough of that stuff and I'll let you know and I will do it, I promise you that. The O is only ifs. How many of us have the only ifs? Only if I would have graduated high school. Only if I would have went on to college. Only if I would have married her. Only if I would have married him. Only if I would have taken this job. Only if this. Only if that. Guess what? We all have those only ifs somewhere in our life. Again, as I said before, God is not worried about your only ifs or your only mistakes. He's worried about only if you're going to come home. Only if you're going to make the right choice today and tomorrow and grow closer to him and move forward with him. That's the only if that matters today. Those only ifs of the past are gone. Can't be changed. Don't worry about them. Don't let them mess you up any longer. That's Satan using your mind to steal the joy and the peace and serenity of today. And that leads us right to the W. The worry. How many of us worry needlessly? And don't tell me that worry doesn't work. Because I've worried plenty in my life, and guess what? Most of what I've worried about never came true. So worry. Would you say worry works? No, God's going to say, do not worry. It says, do not worry. I will take care of you today. It says, I know the hairs on your head. I know when a sparrow falls. He's in control of the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth. He's in control of your life. So do not worry. If he'll provide for the little birds of the air, if he'll provide for the lilies of the valley, how much more does God, will he provide for you? Don't worry. But E is escape. Many of us do some of the things that we do because we simply try and escape either our childhood or some of our past decisions. What we do is we make one wrong, we've made some mistakes, and so now we try and escape to them by making some more wrong choices. Running from your problems are never going to solve them. Avoiding them are never going to solve them. The R is resentment. We've all have resentments. Resentments are sometimes things that some of us may have even been in our family. We resented one of our brothers or sisters, because mom or dad seemed to make them a favorite. Perhaps we resented mom or dad, how they treated us. Perhaps we've resented a coworker; they seemed to get the raise, or they seemed to get promoted. Resentments cause bitterness, cause anger, cause fear, cause pain. And all it does is just continue to suck you down. The L was loneliness. The more of this baggage, the more of these problems or situations that you carry around in your life, guess what? More likely than not, there's going to come times in your life where you're going to feel lonely. Because all of a sudden, let's say you start to try and change, and the party crowd wants nothing to do with you, but yet you haven't made enough friends, either at recovery or church, to feel like you have something to do. And so you're lonely. And so because you're lonely, it's so much easier to go back to the party crowd because at least you fit in there. Loneliness is a powerful emotion. And understand this, with a relationship with Christ, coming to celebrate recovery or church, you need not ever be lonely again. If you begin to understand that God is with you today, tomorrow, and forever, and whatever, bring Him into your choices. When you're thinking about applying for a job, when you're thinking about buying a car, when you're thinking about dating this chick or dating that guy, ask God, is this the right one? Is this the right choice for me? Just don't continue to use your own thoughts and desires. When we make decisions on thoughts, desires, or emotions, oftentimes they'll end up being the wrong ones and we'll be sorry about it not too far down the line. It's just a fact of life. The E is emptiness, because all of these loneliness, all of these resentments, it will leave us empty. We'll feel frustrated with who we are. We'll wonder, well, how did I ever get to this point in life? My friends have deserted me. My money's gone. You know, there's parables in that story, in the Bible about that, about the rich young guy who said, give me half my money, old man. I don't want to spend it on having fun. In the end, he's broke. He's empty. He's lonely. He resents his choices. All of these things begin to be happening. Feeling empty is a bad feeling to have. God says, I've come to give you life, give you life abundantly. I've come to fill you with my spirit. I've come to fill you with joy and peace and love and happiness and goodness. Not sorrow, not pain, not fear, not abandonment. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will only love you. I will only withhold you and lift you up with my righteous right hand. I will help you overcome the troubles and tribulations of this world. Put your hand in mine, and I'll make your life easy. Or easier, cast your burdens upon me because I care for you, and I'll make your yoke light. That's what God says to you. He wants you to be so much more. The two S's. The first one is selfishness. Many times, self is what gets us in trouble. Because self is the one that has to make that decision. The old friends may ask us to come to the party, but they didn't make that decision to. Self has to make that decision. Selfishness, or because we want something, or we want to do something, that addiction, when we've got that desire, when we've got that chemical need, it's bouncing around in our brain. I understand this because gambling is a chemical addiction. Even though it's a behavior, it's the same deal. Dopamine would be released in my brain just like if I swallowed meth or injected heroin. And so I understand when that chemical need is, I just got to get to the casino. I just got to get to the next high. Even though it's a behavior addiction, it's because our brain is telling our body, our heart, our lungs that breathe, we need it. Got to have it. Man, I can't live without it today. The weekend's coming. Man, I'm going to get it. Huh? And what we're doing is we're being selfish and we're deceiving ourselves. We're meeting our selfish individual needs. Understand what that is about. And what it's going to do is it's going to ruin relationships. It's going to cause more pain in your life. You're going to disappoint others. You're going to hurt others. And then we wonder, when is it ever going to stop? The last S is separation. Separation. Sometimes we started with that in the powerless. Sometimes that happens in our relationships because of our own selfish choices. Sometimes it happens in our relationship with God. It was like Mike separated his life from God when I was in the anger, when I was in the depression and gambling mode. My relationship with Christ was not being kept up to date. So it was easy. And you know what that's called in Christianity? It's called backsliding. It's called going backwards instead of growing in God's kingdom, growing in His grace. And it was so much easier because I was stuck in that funk. I was stuck in my selfish choices that I separated myself. And God didn't leave me. Mike left. Mike chose his path. Guess what? My consequences came with those choices. Let's bow your heads. Father, we just come before you tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, we've all been sometimes in a state of powerlessness, feeling like we're frustrated, we're angry, we're hurt, we're disappointed. What should we do? Where should we go? How can I stop doing what I'm doing? Lord, just touch our hearts. Help us to know that you forgive us. Give us the courage and strength to face today, to walk with you tomorrow, and see change begin to happen in our hearts and our lives. Help us to allow forgiveness to touch our hearts. Help us to ask for our own forgiveness, sometimes needing to ask others that we've hurt to forgive us as well. Lord, just bless each man, woman that are here tonight. Give them the courage, if they don't know you as Lord and Savior, as they go into their small groups, help them to talk either with their small group leader or help them to come find me at fellowship time and realize the starting line is by having a relationship with you. That man or woman that's sitting out there right now, or perhaps we've even walked with Christ, but we simply need to realize that sometimes we need to say, okay, Lord, I haven't been walking with you the way I should. Forgive me. Clean me up. Help me. Forgive me. Do some business with the Lord if you need to tonight before you leave. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here for the first time, you'll go through these doors around the basketball cage. If you've never been to Celebrate Recovery, there's a class there called 101. There'll be a little video and follow.